fun. Hey, Lucky. Thank you so much for joining me today. We are, of course, talking about your episode of Poker Face, Time of the Monkey. Have to say, it is my favorite episode so far. I watched it with my husband, and without any prompting, mind you, he's like, "I think this is my favorite episode so far." And I was
I
like,
like
"Yeah."
to hear that. That's really sweet. It's a fun show, you know, and what's neat about the show is, you know, the format, the mystery of the week format, and the kind of, it's almost like an anthology in a way. Everybody has a different favorite, which is so cool, you know.
Yeah, and
There's
I was.
a lot of different flavors, you know.
Yeah, it's so funny because I was like saying, like, it's kind of like a updated Murder, She Wrote. Like, you know,
Totally.
it I think people that dig that show would like it, and I think people that I'm very much aware of Murder, She Wrote being of a certain age, but it never really kind of like spoke to me to watch it. So
Yeah.
yeah, I did a little sleuthing of my own, and I saw that I think thus far your episode is the highest rated right now on IMDb.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, at a
Wow.
8.6, so that's pretty awesome.
You know, I've made mostly independent films throughout my career, so to get, you know, to have the opportunity to work on the show and work with all the great people I got to work with, and to have something that I directed get seen by so many people so fast, is, it's kind of new territory for me. So it's been really overwhelming emotionally this week.
Yeah, I bet. And actually, what's funny is this kind of isn't your first connection with Ryan Johnson, because your wife did the watercolor paintings for Glass Onion, right?
He did. Yeah. And Ryan and I go way back. Ryan was one of my editors on my first film, May. And
Wow.
his, you know, the DP that he works with all the time, Steve Yedlin, he shot May as well. So we all go way, way back, you know.
Nice.
So it was cool to be able to team up on something like this.
That's awesome. No, it's so funny. I totally did not realize that. And I'm a big fan
Yeah.
of May, so I'm kind of shocked that that kind of whizzed by me. But yeah, that's awesome. So I'm kind of curious, and this is something that I've kind of been like wondering about, like see like big series like that have multiple directors. Is there like a like I'm trying to think how I want to put this, like guideline or house style, like where, you know, it's handed off to multiple directors, but it all feels like a cohesive series.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a few different things that they do in order to address that very issue. The first thing that Ryan did was share his dailies from the pilot episode, so I could get an idea of like the style, feel, and tone, and everything like that he was going for. And sorry, I was hearing a strange sound downstairs.
Don't investigate.
Yeah, exactly. Rookie move, right? So Ryan shared his dailies with me, so I got an idea of, you know, kind of the visual style he was going for, and just the tone of performances and everything. And it really aligned with what I hoped it was when I read the script that they assigned me. And then, you know, at a certain point in prep, you have what's called a tone meeting with the showrunners and the writer and everything. And what you do in a tone meeting is you go through every scene in the script and talk about it, and make sure that everybody's on the same page about what the goal is with a given scene or a given moment, and just kind of like the overall feel of the show. So it's, you know, television is much more of a team sport than features has been for me, which was a relief in a lot of ways. You have a lot of support around you, and you know, as a director for hire coming into a show like that, I mean, you're like a component being put into a machine that's already working. You know, they're, you know, like when I got there, they were, you know, there were three or four episodes deep. So they all had a feel for it, and the crew was all used to each other. So I was the new guy coming in, you know, me and the cast, because it's a new cast every episode. So yeah, it was a bit, it was a little bit of a learning curve for me, and I was nervous going into it, but I had such great support around me, and Ryan just, you know, was like, do you want me to shoot it like really similar to the way you're shooting and stuff? And he's like, just shoot it like you shoot your stuff, man. You know, he's like, the reason I brought you on this is I like the way you shoot. I like the way you direct stuff. So he kind of just let me do my thing, you know, and I did what I could to kind of give it some accents and some feelings that would, you know, make it feel like it was all, you know, of a piece with the show at large, you know? So it was really fun.
it definitely feels cohesive, but there are little touches that I feel kind of have much more of a mood. I know there's just certain shots that are very, not horror-like, but are very like atmospheric.
Yeah.
I can tell is kind of your thing.
Can't help it.
No, that's a good thing. I mean,
it's... there's a certain kind of, there's a certain type of humor too, you know, that always seems to just kind of naturally come out when I make stuff. But thankfully that really aligns with Ryan's approach to humor, which is the straighter you play everything, the funnier it becomes. You know, it's like if you get kind of too broad, no matter how outlandish the material is, or you play it, you know, the characters are playing it as real as possible, the funnier it gets.
So. Yeah, that is, I mean, I totally get that, because you do have these very big bombastic moments, of course, like I want to get a little bit more into the cast, but you know, like the stuff with like Judith Light flicking the guy off at the beginning, like the orderly. Also, it was kind of funny. I won't bore you with any war stories, but I worked at a nursing home for 5 years. It was really something. I always say, like, it's one of those jobs that if you're working at it for a long enough time, it will fundamentally like change your outlook on.
I'm sure. It's
very surreal, but so I was like, oh yeah, like that's such a familiar setting, because I feel like I kind of lived that almost 24/7.
So. Yeah, and this, you know, we shot in a real retirement community actually, and a lot of the extras in the show and everything were people that lived there, you know. And this place was nice. I mean, me and half the crew were like, hell, should we move in here when this is over? This place was it was really, really nice. It was definitely on the upper scale of those kind of facilities, because I'd visited retirement homes, you know, over the years to visit old friends or family members or everything, and I'd seen, you know, some pretty low rent ones, and I saw some really, really fancy ones. So it leaves an impression. I imagine working at a place like that day to day would really kind of change the way you look at people in general, because I think that our elderly too often get discarded and are undervalued for how much they have in them that they can share with us, you know.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of funny, because like one of the coolest things was just like hearing their stories and just how like awesome a lot of these people were, and like it's just incredible.
While we were shooting between takes and between setups, I mean, a few times I ran into some of the people that lived in the facility. I met a woman that was like 103 years old.
Wow.
And talked to another lady, who, you know, just was telling me amazing stories. And yeah, it was neat. It was a neat environment to be in.
We had a lady who had just turned 104, and everybody called her mama. And boy, she was, I'll just say, she was very, she loved the men. I'll just say that. So we'll leave
good
it at
for
that.
Her, good for her, man.
Yeah,
good
listen, I could only wish. So you know, of course, you have such an amazing cast.
I was lucky.
Just incredible. I mean, what was it like working with people like Judith Light? You know, it was funny, because I was like, Kay Callan looks so familiar, and then I was like, oh, she was Martha Clark, and then I looked up and I was like, oh, she's great. She was in Knives Out.
Yeah. Oh man, Judith was just a delightful person, and obviously just an insanely great actress. And Essi Peyton Merkerson also. I mean, those two ladies together was just, I couldn't have been more fortunate to have the two of them. They were both, you know, not only just great examples of human beings, but also just so skilled and so effortless at what they do that, you know, I was just really lucky. And then you just go down the line and the rest of the cast, you know, Kay Callan, like who you brought up, was unbelievable. Reed Burney, you know, and you know, several of these people, I feel like I might have made friends for life. You know, we really bonded on this thing, and we really had fun. And you know, it's I'd made this movie Old Man that came out last year with Stephen Lang, and Stephen's about the same age as Judith and Ipatha. And the thing, the commonality I found between those three actors that made them great in my eyes was that they still had a fire in their belly for what they do. They still really knew that what they're doing is a privilege to get to do it, and we're just excited, you know, and still had that kind of childlike, you know, excitement about making believe, you know, with a great team. So it's been a really interesting year for me as a director, working with older actors in this past year and a half or whatever.
That's amazing. I mean, it's like, again, if we're just so fortunate enough to have that spark after all those years. I mean, I feel like, you know, this business is incredibly amazing, but I also feel like there's a flip side of that where it can beat you down if you let it. So I think that when you can kind of...
Kind of what?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, it's...
Sorry, you're cutting out.
Oh, okay. Okay. That, you know, it's great having that kind of fire, being in an industry that can probably be so brutal, I imagine, sometimes.
Yeah, it's brutal for different reasons too. You know, there's people that have been at it for so long that they're kind of, you know, they don't appreciate it as much anymore, and they, you know, they take it for granted a little bit, and that's unfortunate. You know, thankfully on this show, I mean, everybody was just like, you know, everybody was just having the time of their lives, you know. So
yeah,
but yeah, you can kind of run into some people that will just zap the fun out of everything just because they're miserable for some reason or another, which is unfortunate. You know,
that's a shame. I have to say, I also love how your episode has Charlie just very easily slipping into old lady mode. Like there's that scene where she's like wearing the dead lady's cardigan, and she just fits in so perfectly. I love it.
Yeah. No, those scenes were especially fun because there's this period, you know, in the first half hour or so of the episode where Charlie's really falling in love with these women, you know, and we talked about it in those terms that this was a love story in a way, you know, her finding these two women that she puts up on a pedestal. And then obviously when things take a turn, she's that much more crushed because, you know, she realizes that maybe these people don't align with the, you know, kind of behavior that she thinks is morally correct. So it makes the heart.
Yeah,
seeing that much more, I think, just the bonded so well, you know, in that early part of the episode.
Yeah, and that's such a great twist. So I will say that we've kept it pretty spoiler free, but I probably am going to get into some spoilers.
Okay.
So, you know, for anybody watching that hasn't seen it, pause this video, watch it. It's amazing. It's on Peacock. So. I love the reveal. I kind of love like the sort of fake flashback that really kind of like throws you off. You know, when you were approached for this project, did you have a pick of like the scripts? Like did this particular project kind of or this particular episode stick out to you?
No, Ryan knew he wanted me to direct an episode in the first season, and it was, I don't know, maybe a month or two before I went up there to start prepping. You know, he let me read all of the scripts that were done at that point. I read I think 8 or 9 scripts, and I knew which ones I liked, you know, but it was really about Ryan. You know, it's almost for him, it's, you know, he's not only casting all of the actors and everything, but he's casting these directors for stuff that he thinks plays their strengths, or that puts them in an area where he thinks that they maybe don't even know that they can excel in, you know. And there, it was down to, you know, two or three different possibilities, and then he landed on this retirement home one, and I was just thrilled because I really, really loved the writer of that episode. He also wrote the barbecue episode, which I thought was a phenomenal script. And and then, you know, I got assigned this one, which was written by Wyatt and another writer from the writer's room, Charlie Peppers. And man, these guys just, you know, it just, the sense of humor just really aligned with me, and the fact that it was female driven, which is a comfort zone for me. There was just so many things about it that just, you know, it was good casting on Ryan's part to assign that script to me. You know?
Yeah. It's, yeah, again, great episode. I love the action. Is it fun to direct action? Is that something that you innately kind of like?
It is really fun. It's really fun to work with a great stunt coordinator and stunt, you know, and stunt performers. And they had just killer people on Poker Face. When I got the script, I knew that
oh, there you are.
Hey, I lost you for a sec.
Yeah. Did I freeze up, or I know you
it just seemed to kind of start to hiccup a little bit, and then it just okay. Shut off. So I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that's no problem. I was actually just messaging you to make sure that I yeah, it's funny because you have two. Can you? Oh, there you are. Okay, there. So, yeah, that's fine. I can edit that, and we can.
Okay.
I think we were talking about.
We're talking about the fight scene, and I wanted to make sure that you know, we had 10 days to shoot the episode, and I wanted to make sure that we had a whole day to shoot that fight scene. And when you have a, you know, 50 to 60 page script, and you have to average, you know, you really had to average 6 pages a day in order to get everything in. I tried to make sure that I had some days that were a little heavier than that, so I could carve out room for that fight sequence. Cause I wanted to concentrate just from the minute Charlie first gets hit to the end of that sequence. I wanted to have a whole day to do that. And even then, you know, there was great concern with the, you know, with the AD department and everybody that we could actually pull all of that off in a single day. But, you know, I storyboarded the entire episode myself, and I storyboarded, you know, every shot and every cut of that fight sequence. And then they hired a real storyboard artist to make really, really pretty versions of my storyboards. And then we got to the day of shooting that fight sequence, and the AD who's first AD'd a lot of stuff like Punisher and Daredevil and stuff like that, where they do a lot of complex fight stuff. He had all of the storyboards printed up and put on a big whiteboard. And every time we did a shot, we would cross the storyboard out, and we just kind of jammed through the day that way. And we had, you know, really, really great camera operators and a brilliant stunt team, and, you know, three actors that were game to get down in the dirt and throw punches and, you know, bite each other and break things over each other's heads and everything. It was so fun. It was so fun. It was just a thrill. You know, when you're shooting stuff like that, you feel like a little kid, you know?
Nice. And it's so funny because, I mean, again, you have these wonderful veteran actors, you know, again, like Judith Light, being so unabashedly kind of cheeky. And I mean, I was like, it's funny because, again, I was watching with my husband, and I was like, how did they get through any of these takes without like just busting up?
There's a lot of laughter on that set for sure. You know, and Judith and Epeta were kind of making fun of me in a totally good natured way towards the end, because I would be like, you know, most of the takes I wouldn't be calling cut. They'd just hear me laughing, you know, just like, oh God, I love it when Lucky laughs like that, you know? The thing that was really attractive to this episode for Judith and Epeta was the fact that they don't get do stuff like this very often. They don't get to fight and curse and be, you know, badasses and be bad guys and do all this kind of stuff, you know? So, I mean, Ipatha told me that one of the first things she told me is she was like, I get to say motherfucker on TV. I'm in. She was really excited about it. Nice. And she's one of the finest people at cursing that I've ever heard in my life. I just love listening to that woman curse. It's just such a beautiful thing. It's got such a musicality about it. So
it's funny because one of the notes that I took for this was like, she's giving me Pam Grier.
Yeah.
Of course, the best possible way, like amazing.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun. Like, what are some of the what's one of the standout kind of behind the scenes moment that you experienced from this? What's one of your
there's a couple, but the biggest standout for me is the scene where Joyce and Irene are basically, you know, trying to figure out if Charlie's a rat, and they're just sitting at a table and they ask her if she's a rat, and Charlie's like, I'm not a rat. And just that whole scene where Charlie's heart gets broken and she realizes these two women have done some pretty unforgivable things in the past, and just to see her going through that feeling of watching your heroes kind of crumble right before your eyes and realizing that there's something rotten under there, that just felt like magic when we were shooting it. I felt like it's almost like something from a gangster movie or something like that. It feels like something out of like Goodfellas or The Departed or something. Just this idea of like, you know, that mistrust that's taking place, and, you know, are you a rat? Are you wearing a wire? And Charlie's like, wait a second, you're the assholes. Like that whole sequence was, I mean, we knew there was something special taking place there when we were filming it, you know, and all three ladies were just magnificent in that scene. Very, very subtle performances, but really, really landed it, you know.
And that's what I think is one of the things that's so great about this episode is like, you have stuff that's so outrageous, but then you have like these weightier moments that really anchor that.
Yeah. And there's another scene that takes place at that same table where Gabriel basically admits to the two ladies that he betrayed them 30 years ago. Or 50 years ago. And that, you know, that was another one where there was a lot of tears in a lot of people's eyes when we kind of got to the end of his confession and everything. And that, you know, seeing those women realizing, you know, this guy totally betrayed us, we're going to have to do something about it, but masking, you know, the masks that they put over that. It's just really, really fine acting, man. And when you've got actors like that, you just try to get the camera in the right place to catch it, you know, because their instincts are just right on the button, you know?
Yeah, like when Gabriel, like the moment that he sees them, I mean, just the look on his face is just like, it looks like he's just on the verge of tears. Like, it's such good acting. I'm like, how do people, like, the fact that people can just turn that on and off is incredible to me.
Yeah, and the impression that Reed Birney makes and just the few scenes that he's in, you know, like that, you know, like you said, that introduction scene, and then there's this really lovely exchange that he has with Charlie when he first gets shown his room at the retirement community. It's really sad and bleak. And then, you know, then you follow that with this scene where he confesses to these two women that he loved, that he betrayed them. It was very emotional. And, you know, Reed also came in and just nailed it on the first take too. You know, we did two takes just because, like, we just felt obligated to do two takes, but he nailed it in the first one, you know. It's like we would have been just fine. But yeah, you know, I mean, you know, when you have actors like that placed in front of you, it's hard to go wrong, you know?
Yeah. Now, you said you shot this in 10 days.
Yeah.
Now, how is that like compared to like your films? Because I know,
well, what's funny about that is the type of films that, you know, the lower budget kind of independent films that I've been making, especially the last 10 years with really short schedules, really prepared me to work in television because because of that accelerated pace. And it's like, everybody's worried, how are we going to shoot all this stuff in 10 days? I'm like, well, I just shot my last feature in 15 days and that was 90 pages, you know? So it's like, you know, 55 pages or 60 pages or whatever in 10 days wasn't scary to me, you know, because I'd learned a lot of tricks of the trade. And plus, you know, when you're working on a big television show like that, there's a lot more resources. There's a lot more manpower. There's a lot more gear. There's just, you know, you have a lot more at your disposal, you know, you know, the thing that I really loved about working on this show in particular was being able to shoot with two cameras, which I've done very, very few times and only in specific cases, like on films in the past. But to do a whole shoot and have two cameras running and figuring out how to use two cameras with them without making it feel like it's a two camera shoot, and trying to like not just be shooting like two people singles at the same time, but to be, you know, shooting like a really, really cool profile angle and then, you know, getting a low angle two shot and, you know, trying to make sure that no matter what, even if you have two cameras running at the same time, that each shot is extremely cinematic and that the B camera doesn't just feel like just coverage, if that makes any sense. So that was a really cool, you know, new tool that I, you know, that ended up in my tool belt as a result of working on the show. Man, just anything I do in the future, if I can have two cameras, it's just the way to go.
Nice.
You know? And you move a lot faster too, you know.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, with you saying you had to get what, like six pickups a day or something.
Six pages of script. And a lot of times more than that, because I was trying to like front load a lot of the page count, you know, in the early days, so I'd have more time to do the more complex scenes like the trellis climb and the fight sequence and stuff. Mm. It's just all a balancing act, you know, which is really fun. And you really, really learn how to make a schedule work when you're working an independent film. So when you get to television, it's actually a little bit easier, you know, because you just have a lot more manpower.
I mean, that's really interesting, especially with, you know, again, this, you know, already kind of being trained in this sort of fast paced environment with like indie films. I mean, it would probably be very jarring for somebody to go into this as their first project, versus like somebody that's already kind of built up these skills to be able to shoot six pages in a day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just something you learn by doing it, you know? And, you know, like I said, when Ryan, you know, when I asked him, you know, is there any particular way that you want me to shoot this or any particular style? He said, just shoot it like you shoot your stuff. So I just shot it like I shoot my movies, man. You know, like I treated it the same way, you know, it was awesome that he gave me that freedom, you know, but again, like I said, I was still trying to honor what he created and making sure that I was getting the right tone and feel, you know? You know, that's what's cool about the show.
Now did you, cause I know, you know, you said you had a good time doing this. Do you think that you'd want to do more TV shows, or would you ever want to maybe like,
I would love to do as much television as possible. It's so fun. They're short time commitments. They keep you really, really sharp, you know. It's just a really fun team sport, like I said. And you know, it's like if I got to a place where I was able to do an episode or two of television a year, I would have the rest of that year to work on the stuff that means the most to me, you know, while staying sharp and working, you know, getting better at working with different kinds of personalities and, you know, and also, you know, I joked with Ryan that you know, this episode of television is kind of the first time I've directed anything that has a plot because it's a mystery show and it's got the, you know, problem solving aspect and it has a real plot. You know, most of my movies have been mostly just really, really heavily character driven, you know. They kind of float float around, but just having this, you know, a great.
Yeah, and that's funny because, you know, I think one of the things, learning curve. I'm sorry, I'm not sure what's going on with my, I don't know if it's my internet, but sometimes it gets a little laggy.
I don't know. Mine says it has a full signal. Yeah, check and see.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm I'm in the office, and sometimes the internet's really good, and sometimes it can throw a fit. Like,
still there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. Yep. Okay, let me try moving. Let me try moving my iPad here. I'm checking my signal's super good right now. So, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, let me.
That makes a difference.
Yeah, I can. If it's still a little problematic, I can try to switch to a different Wi-Fi thing. But yeah, I'm getting all signals too. I don't know. But
mysteries of technology.
Yeah, gotta love it. Yeah, actually, would something like having your own show be something you'd be interested in someday? If like you could show run and occasionally direct.
Yeah, I would want to do a show, but I wonder, the only thing I wonder about it is how could I do it without wanting to direct every single episode, which Ryan was definitely, definitely conflicted about, because this thing is his baby, it's his creation, I think part of the reason he wanted to bring me on was that he trusted me, and we went way back and we really understood each other's sensibilities, and there's a trust there that really helped, and Natasha directed an episode, and the other directors he got are fantastic, especially Ian McDonald, who did the barbecue episode. I just think that's just marvelously directed piece of television, but for me, making, I would like to make my own show, but I wonder whether or not I would be able to welcome other directors.
Yeah. Give up the reins a little bit, but
I don't know. But the reason I like making movies is collaborating with people. So it would be like, it would be a new frontier. So that would probably be really exciting, I can think of some directors off the top of my head, like Jovanka Vukovic, who's a good friend of mine, and I can think in Chris Sievertson, and there's a lot of people that would get something that would come out of my weird brain, I think. So who knows? We'll see. I don't think I can really consider doing, trying to make my own series until I've worked on other people's shows a few times and learned the ropes a little bit more,
I think, I know we have kind of a glut of really great horror anthologies, but I think something like that would be kind of amazing, like with some of these.
Well, Guillermo did it with Cabinet of Curiosities, which I think is marvelous. And it really made me pine for the days of Masters of Horror, because I wonder if Masters of Horror wouldn't have been more successful now in the streaming age. I think it would,
Who knows? I mean, they reboot everything.
That's true. Gosh, wouldn't that be great? That was a special show too.
I have to say, I mean, that show came on at such a formidable time for me, because I was like really, like, I've been a horror, like just a movie fan in general for like as long as I can remember. But like, I'm sure you can relate where certain things just hit you at such a great time and place in your life. So like, just like with Discovering May, I remember like being like pretty much just freshly out of high school, loving it, recognizing all the creativity and like how you can make something so cool on not a huge, Hollywood budget.
Yeah. Oh man, that's nice to hear.
Yeah. So I don't want to keep you all day, but I could talk I get so excited talking about stuff like this. I could talk for hours, but I won't. I really appreciate your time, but just kind of wrapping up, what's something that you'd like people to take away from your episode?
Just that it's just a wonderful celebration of some really, really brilliant actors and creatives, I keep pinching myself that I even got to work on a show of this caliber. I really, really enjoyed my experience of working with each and every person, So I hope they see that it was made with a lot of love. I hope that comes across, you know, and you know, I hope people keep, I hope, you know, I love the positive, the just the, all the positivity and encouragement and warmth that's coming from people that are watching the episode. And I really hope that this all leads to a spinoff series starring Joyce and Irene.
Yes. All right. I would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, put it out in the universe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Again, this was so cool. Getting to talk to you again, getting to talk about this great episode that you directed. Everybody, you can check it out right now. Right now, it is up on Peacock. Mm-hmm. Watch the whole series, but yeah, episode 5 is a banger. So check it out.
Thanks, man. It's good to talk to you.
Absolutely.